fans, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings, Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the March 4th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. The sun is setting on the Sunny Side of Sports. I'll be retiring from the Voice of America in 3.5 weeks. My last show will be March 27th. I'll be leaving the Voice of America after nearly 36 years here and with lots of good memories. I'll share a few of those memories with you over the next few weeks. With the 13th African Games beginning later this week in Ghana, I'm reminded of one of those memories. In 2003, the Voice of America sent me to Nigeria's political capital, Abuja, to cover the 8th African Games. In Abuja, I was joined by Segun Dot on the spot, Adeyemi, and Nnamdi Hollywood Moeta, our reigning prince of pugilistics. Working the 2003 African Games beat with Segun and Nnamdi was definitely a VOA career highlight. Now, a man who's working the beat for the upcoming African Games is Kwabena Quicksilver Ofori, and Kwabena joins us now from Accra. Sporty greetings, Kwabena!
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Coming Friday, March 8th, Ghana, Africa, and the rest of the world will witness the opening ceremony of the 13th Africa Games to be held in Accra. Prior to the opening ceremony, 54 countries last week confirmed their participation in the Accra Games, in line with the local organizers' deadline of 25th February. From last weekend, some countries and their contingents started arriving in Accra, and Togo was the first country to enter the Games village, followed by Egypt, Libya, Mauritius, Tunisia, and Zambia. Others are Cape Verde, Ethiopia, Angola, Kenya, and Nigeria. At the Games village of the host nation, I met the coach of the basketball team, Selom Thomas.
I mean, so far we've been working so hard. We've played some friendly games just to get our players up to speed. So far, so good.
Talking about injuries and other things, are you facing some difficulty in your camp?
Yeah, we had those issues earlier in camp when we were in Cape Coast, but we have an able team of medical practitioners around that dealing with all the injuries. So as of now, we don't have any injuries at all, but we pick up knocks after every practice and then they go there for treatment. So everyone is fine at the moment.
You were African champions in South Africa and you advanced to the FISU in Qatar. And then what honors have you again apart from these two?
I mean, coaching in the 3x3, we represented University of Cape Coast in South Africa, and then we went with only the guys, and then we were champions, and then we went to Qatar to represent Africa. I mean, it was a tough one, but it was good. And I mean, apart from coaching University of Cape Coast, I coached the Spintex Naya Basketball Club in Accra, and we were the champions for the Greater Accra Basketball League last year, and hopefully we'll get to represent Ghana in the Basketball Africa League this year.
It means you have a strong squad.
Yeah, definitely. Two of our guys played at the World University Games. So we have a very, very good team, and we are hoping that we can bring home the gold. So, yeah.
Yeah, the gold is what Ghanaians are looking for.
Yeah, you know.
How determined are you?
You know, Ghana was called the Gold Coast for a reason. So definitely, we want the gold to stay here. And every time we go to practice, you can see in the determination of the guys, the passion they have, the dedication they show towards everything that we, the coaches, tell them to do. And I mean, we can't ask for any more from these guys. They just keep showing the passion and determination to win the gold when the competition begins.
Coach, how do you scout for your player? I mean, was it a regional, Accra, or just a country?
So with the under-23, we had an open championship. So everyone that attended the open championship, that was where we scouted from. So we didn't have time to do a nationwide scouting, but there was a national open run where everyone was invited to come. And so those guys and girls that participated in the championship, that was where we selected from.
how many of your players are from the University of Cape Coast?
Currently, we have 3 University of Cape Coast guys on the men's team, and then we have 1 lady also on the women's team.
See, were you with the ladies' team in South Africa too?
No, we didn't travel with the ladies' team at all.
Uh-huh. What about honors for the ladies' team, or they just...
I mean, with the ladies, the University of Cape Coast were GUSA champions in 2022, both the male and female. So okay. Ideally, they have a certain level of experience winning championships.
Yeah. But the team to trust is the men's team, right?
I mean, both teams. We are working. Everything we are doing with the guys, we are doing with the girls, and we are even in fact putting more pressure on the ladies, making them do extra work just so that there will be no room for complacency on both sides. So it's not attention to one side; it's attention on both sides, because we want to be able to host and win both categories.
What African team poses threat to you when it comes to such a competition?
I mean, with this 3x3, I mean, people from Madagascar have shown that they are very good. People from the Northern African countries, the Egypt, the Algerias, the Tunisias, the Moroccos, just because they play a lot of competitions like this. They travel to play a lot of competitions like this. So in our preparation, I mean, we are trying to prepare, and everything we are doing is to the world standard. So we want to be able to face these guys, even if we have the opportunity to play them, and show that we actually have worked hard, we have the talent here, and we can compete at that level. We didn't come here to settle for silver or bronze. If it was that, we'd probably be at home sleeping. We are working morning, afternoon, evening, just so to make sure that we can keep the medals at home.
Okay, so what do you tell Ghanaians?
I mean, we want Ghanaians to know that we are working very, very hard, and this is also an opportunity for us to represent the country in the best way we can, because we're expecting other African countries to come. About 49, 50 countries already have committed to come. So it's not just for us as basketball players, but it's for the whole country, and try to showcase how Ghanaians are and how good we are in sports. So, I mean, it goes beyond just basketball. Every other discipline wants to do their best to be able to win trophies for the country. And they can come out when the time is due, come and support us, come and make the noise like they make for the soccer, the Black Stars and all of that, and expect nothing but wins for us.
That was an interview with Ghana's basketball team coach, Selom Thomas. For the Sunny Side of Sports, Kwabena Ofori in Accra.
Thanks, Kwabena. Handball is another sport that will be featured at the upcoming African Games in Ghana. Nigeria's men's team is hoping for a podium performance in handball. In an interview with Iron Mike Mbonye, the team's head coach, Rafio Salami, says the squad is coming off lifting the trophy at the President's Cup in Egypt.
The team was a young team, and I think this time compared to the last Nations Cup, tactically the boys were more concentrated and more disciplined collectively, and they gave up a very good fight. What I'm to say, we are building a young team for the future, and from the look of things, things are getting better each time we go to competition. So I think the competition was okay. The boys were happy with the success. I'm happy too for them, because it was a very tough thing, preparation for everybody. But I think we're heading somewhere. We lost 2 matches, we won 4. So we got into the finals, and we finally won the finals against Cameroon, I think. Cameroon. Yeah, so the tournament was okay for me, for the team, and I think Nigeria were happy for the boys.
The 13th African Games is scheduled to commence in less than 5 days. What's the level of preparations by the national team, and what are your medal prospects at the Games?
The level of preparation for the team for the All-African Games is completely different, because this time we have 8 teams, like Nations Cup, we have 16 teams. We have 8 teams, don't we have lesser match to play. I think this time around, based on what we have done in the President Cup, people expect nothing from us, less than a medal anyway. The mood is very, very high in the camp. The guys are eager to start with it, and this time they are much more confident than the Nations Cup. So I think we're going to do something. But I know the boys are conscious of what is at stake for us, and I'm sure some things will come out better for us.
Coach, what's the mood in camp ahead of the African Games, especially after winning the President's Cup handball tournament in Egypt?
Basically, the campaign has been fine. There'll be a lot of constraint about number of players to go, but we don't know what Nigeria is all about, but we do all we can to make sure we get something out of the championship. As I said earlier, the aim is to get a medal. The color determines how far we go in the competition, but I'm sure we'll get a medal anyway.
That's Rafiu Salami, the head coach of Nigeria's national men's handball team. And he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from France.
This is Sunday Side of Sports.
Here's something to crow about, Sunnyside of Sports listeners. A Kenyan athlete has broken the course record in winning the Tokyo Marathon. Samson Omale has that story and more African sports news.
Kenyan Benson Kipruto won the men's Tokyo Marathon in 2 hours, 2 minutes and 16 seconds on Sunday, breaking former world record holder Eliud Kipchoge's course record in perfect racing conditions on the streets of the Japanese capital. Kipruto pulled clear of Timothy Kiplagat, who came in second, while Vincent Kipkemoi took the third spot to ensure a podium sweep for Kenya. Ethiopia's Sutumi Assefa Kibede won the women's race ahead of Kenya's defending champion Rosemary Wanjiru in 2 hours, 15 minutes, 55 seconds, also bettering the best previous women's time over the course from Shinjuku to the Imperial Palace. Eliud Kipchoge, the two-time Olympic gold medalist, was 10th for his lowest finish in 20 career marathons. Staying with athletics, Burkina Faso's Hughes Fabrice Zango took the gold medal and the triple jump at the World Athletics Indoor Championship in the Scottish city of Glasgow. The 30-year-old athlete won the final after leaping 17.53 meters on his fifth attempt, a victory he described as really very important for his country.
It's really important. You know, we don't have big names in sport in Burkina Faso, and we need examples like that. We need examples like me to really bring something new in the sport.
And now to the African Games, where table tennis will kickstart the 13th Africa Games, taking place in Accra, Ghana, from March 8th to the 23rd. The men's singles will kick off the tournament with 84 men, while 62 women will battle for the coveted prize in the event. A statement by the International Table Tennis Federation made this known on Sunday, where the body confirmed that 29 countries will jostle for awards and honors in 7 events at the Games. All eyes will be on Africa's highest-ranked player, Anna Quadri of Nigeria, who is yet to add Africa Games men's singles title to his medal tray.
Sporty greetings. I'm Aruna Quadri, Nigerian professional table tennis player. You're listening to the Sony Side of Sport on the Voice of America.
In football news, the CAF Champions League quarterfinals lineup is now complete, with Tanzania, the most dominant nation, with 2 clubs awaiting the draw. Simba joined local rivals Young Africans, who qualified for the last 8 last week. Other teams in the last 8 are South Africa's Mamelodi Sundowns, TP Mazembe of DR Congo, Tunisia's Esperance, Holders Al Hakli of Egypt, ASEC Mimosa of Ivory Coast, and Angola's Petro Atletico. The draw date for the last 8 will be announced in the coming days. The Football Association of Kenya, Malawi, Zambia and Zimbabwe have announced that the 4 countries will hold a 4-nation tournament during the next FIFA international window, which is scheduled for the 18th to the 26th of March 2024 in Lilongwe. The tournament presents a valuable opportunity for the 4 national teams to face quality opposition in preparations for the upcoming 2026 FIFA World Cup and 2025 AFCON qualifying campaigns. I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
Hi, this is Larry London, the host of VOA's Border Crossings, where we feature music and interviews along with your favorite artists from around the world.
Rain on me.
Tune in and interact live with us here in Washington, D.C.
Hello, Shirin.
Hello, Larry. How are you?
Good. How are you tonight?
Border Crossings comes to you Monday through Friday at 1500 UTC GMT.
Thanks, Larry. That's Larry London, a man who's always ready to cross musical borders. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Two big basketball scoring records were set over the weekend here in the USA, one at the professional level and the other at the collegiate level. In Southern California, superstar LeBron James of the Los Angeles Lakers became the first NBA player to score 40,000 career points. LeBron hit the big mark by scoring 26 points in a 124-114 loss to the defending NBA champion Denver Nuggets. Hey, LeBron, talk to us about your latest milestone.
Well, I mean, obviously, I'm never thinking about a milestone when I'm out there battling. And but when it happens, obviously, we acknowledge it. And, you know, obviously, much respect and much loyalty to the Laker fan base for showing me that love during the timeout. And you know, being the first player to do something is pretty cool in this league, because you just know the history, you know the greats that's come through the leagues, and then you see some of the greats on the floor tonight. It was just great to compete versus that. So,
LeBron, do you think your scoring record will ever be broken?
I have no idea. Obviously, you have to play the game quite a while and have some good luck as far as injuries and things of that nature. You have to take care of your body. You have to be present on the floor. And then you have to be productive as well. Obviously, we have a lot of great guys in our league that can score the ball. And you know, if they were to stay healthy and they were to play a long time, then they can eclipse it. But, you know, you can't account for what could possibly happen. So I can't sit here and say, who would it be in our league today? And their records are always meant to be broken.
At the collegiate level, Caitlin Clark of Iowa broke the career record for points in men's and women's Division I basketball in Iowa's victory over Ohio State. The AP's Greg Eklund reports from Iowa City, Iowa.
Caitlin Clark broke the record with a pair of free throws to close out the first half scoring. Iowa won the game 93-83. She scored 18 points in the opening half to break the record previously held by former LSU great Pete Maravich, and didn't envision being an all-time scoring leader in college.
Like, honestly, if you would have told me that before my college career started, I would have laughed in your face and been like, no, you're insane. And like, I've always been able to score the ball, but I don't think people really understand how many amazing players have come before me and like been able to score the ball.
Clark has 3,685 career points going into the Big Ten tournament and hopes to lead the Hawkeyes back to the women's Final Four. Greg Eklund, Iowa City.
Thanks, Greg. Joining us once again on the Sunny Side of Sports is my VOA colleague, Muckbill Yabarrow. Sporty greetings, Muckbill.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. What's going on?
Ladies first, Muckbill. Caitlin Clark, she's been a sensation this year in college basketball. But, you know, I do remember Pistol Pete Maravich, Muckbill, and it's probably worth pointing out that when he played for LSU, the three-point line did not exist.
Absolutely, Sonny. I think it's a completely different game at the moment. But when you think about the fact that not only did she beat or break Pistol Pete's record, she broke the record of all collegiate men to have ever played the game. So it's like, I mean, Pistol Pete, legendary in his own right, but just think about how many of our all-time NBA greats played in college, right?
Chamberlain.
Right. The like MJ, you know what I'm saying?
Michael Jordan.
So you can just think the numbers are, or the names are endless on that list. And for Caitlin Clark to, man, beat that record is unbelievable, but it shows you how much the women's game has developed as well, Sonny. She's shooting the three-point clip at an unbelievable level, man. And she and the level of excitement that she brings to the game, a lot of NBA or basketball analysts say that they prefer to watch the women's collegiate game over the men's collegiate game. And the March Madness competition that we remember last year, LSU versus Iowa, Angel Reese and versus Caitlin Clark, man, that thing was, it was watched across the board by even some casual basketball fans.
Now, Muckbill, I was watching the highlights of Caitlin Clark, and it seems like every game she steps over half court, and they say, from the logo, there goes Caitlin Clark. How would you describe her shooting?
Oh, impeccable, man. She has an unbelievable jumper, bro. And to me, the craziest thing about it is, like, we always say, you know, we see what Steph has done, right, for the game and how he's influenced a lot of young boys, right? We don't really necessarily see how he's influenced the young women's
That's
game
right.
as well.
Great point.
So when she's shooting from the logo, yeah, she's seen this, you know, from Steph and the likes, and now she's implementing it, and it just shows you how much more difficult it is to guard a player that you know can take a step after half court and can really take a very good-looking jumper. Back in the days, right, you would just make sure that you defend right at that three-point line, right? If the player's not that good a three-point shooter, you could kind of, you know, maybe push them off the line a little bit, but no one is expect like the development of the game is so insane now, Sonny, that you're seeing people taking one, two steps after the half point
amazing
line and letting it off. So yeah, kudos to her, man. She has a really, and I can really see, you know, mock drafts are saying that she should be going number one in the WNBA draft later on this year to the Indiana Fever.
And on that point, Muckbill, Caitlin Clark recently announced she'll forego her last season in Iowa. What does her presence mean for the WNBA?
Oh, unbelievable. I think that because of the excitement around Caitlin Clark in the collegiate realm has proven to be, you know, really, really high. Tons of people are tuning into all these Iowa games. For her to be able to get that same viewership and eyes for the WNBA is going to be huge. We can potentially see something along the lines of what Steph and Sabrina just did for that, you know, three-point contest, which right. to me was one of the most exciting things in All-Star Weekend, because we spoke about the game. Wasn't as exciting as we would have liked, but that, that three-point contest was exciting, and I could see that maybe they could do something like a two-on-two, maybe Sabrina and Steph
great idea.
Versus Dame and Caitlin.
Come That's on, a great you know, idea.
Adam Silver's got to call me.
Like we got, they should make you junior NBA commissioner.
Come on, man. You know, I'm only a call away.
Well, Muckbill, one of the elder statesmen in basketball, LeBron James, he congratulated Caitlin Clark for her new scoring record. LeBron, ageless, just right. ageless, hitting the 40,000-point career mark. And as he said afterwards, Muckbill, you got to have a certain amount of longevity, I think, just to hit that mark.
Oh, absolutely. In his own words, he basically described everything that has to kind of go your way. In all sports, Sonny, we know there's a little bit of luck that has to come in play because there, you know, you can look and see the specific players that may have been more talented than LeBron, but maybe weren't as disciplined.
That's
you
right.
Got other players that maybe were just as talented and disciplined, but got injured. You know, you got a guy like Derrick Rose who wins his MVP relatively early on in his career, but is plagued by knee injuries moving forward, and he's able to have some semblance of a decent NBA career on the back end, but not the one that we would have expected because of his injuries, right? If D-Rose stays healthy, what is his, you know, career look like moving forward? So certain things like that, yeah, absolutely. Even his draft class, LeBron's draft class and his teammates, Dwayne Wade, his Olympic teammates, Dwayne Wade and Carmelo Anthony have said numerous times, when we were 18, 19 years old, LeBron was already spending money on his body, taking care of himself, not eating bad food, whereas we would just be out having, you know, fast food and all and the likes, where this guy was really serious about it early on, and it helped him last that much longer than us.
Well, let's take a look at some of the NBA results from Sunday, Muckbill. The Celtics crushed the Golden State Warriors. I think that's 11 wins in a row for the Celtics. One stat that caught my eye, this was the third game the Celtics have won this year by 50 or more points, which seems incredible.
That's an insane number, Sonny. That is an insane number. When we just look at the box score for that game, the game got out of hand relatively early. And you see, you know, Clay, Steph, Dre, none of them were in double digits, right? So you literally had Quinones, who had 17 points, and Robinson with 10, but they basically were playing that that second string the entire game. Kuminga had 6, Draymond had 6, Klay Thompson had 6, Steph had 4 points. So probably after the first quarter or so, the game was without a reach. Interestingly enough, they tried to, so Jaylen Brown basically made a statement post-game stating to Steve Kerr, coach of the Golden State Warriors, he's like, I hope you guys basically give this plan, this strategy that you guys were trying to defend us, and give this strategy to the rest of the teams in the league, because clearly it's going to benefit me. So what they were doing was they were looking off Jaylen Brown at the three-point line and letting him take threes.
Wow.
So okay. He wasn't being guarded for a big portion of it, and he was knocking them down. So, you know, Jaylen Brown went from the three-point line. He was 50%. So he took 10, he scored 5. So he ends the game with a team high of 29 points, plus minus 35.
Unbelievable. 35. So, and another big birthday for Jason Tatum.
Absolutely.
Right now, McBill, I think he's my pick for league MVP.
I like that pick. I like their team to, you know, if they can stay healthy. We keep saying this, you know, health is imperative for this team. If Porzingis can stay healthy, then I think this team definitely has a great chance to make it. But I'm looking at the team right now. I think Porzingis was inactive. I don't know if it's due to an injury or just maybe, you know, kind of resting him. You know how they do sometimes. So we'll see how that goes. But I definitely think that this Boston Celtics team is the team to watch.
McBill, just a few minutes. Let's switch to the English Premier League. Man City with a comeback victory over Man U, 3-1. Your thoughts on that match?
Ooh, man, I was watching that game, and before I even could really get settled in, Marcus Rashford scored. 8 minutes into it, United looking great. They're up 1-0 with an absolute screamer. You're expecting Man City to be poised, as they are the league champions. They have that pedigree. So they were methodical, Sonny. They kept pressing them and pushing them and pushing them. Even within the first half, they had so many shots on target. They end the game with like 27 or 28 shots to only like 8 shots by United. And then they end up, you know, coming back in the second half. I'm sure Pep Guardiola, the manager, speaks to them and lets them know, look, guys, we got to get this done. Phil Foden, you know, another bright English star, young, bright English star, you know, gets a little bit of space. And it's almost like it was the answer to Marcus Rashford's goal, because both goals are screamers, right? Goalies didn't stand a chance. And then after that, it just kind of opened up. And once City sees the back of the net, it's like, man, they see blood. And they just kept coming. Second goal happens. Foden scores a second goal, which was a lot easier in setup, because by that time, United had some unfortunate injury situation in the back. Then fatigue sold them, because the entire team, Sonny, was defending, right? The entirety of the game, they were not only defending, but going for the counterattack. And that's what City does to you. They just corral you and force you to play with your entire team. Shout out to United's goalkeeper, man, Onana, who we've been very critical about, not only on this program, but on our AFCON programs, as he hasn't been playing to his to his capability. First half, and I'll even say the entirety of the game, He blocked so many shots. What we've seen is that if you have a United back line that actually is there to assist him in the way that he plays, he can be a real big asset for them.
McBill, you mentioned Phil Foden. Pep quoted after the match that based on current form, he's the best player in the Premier League right now. Your thoughts?
You could make the argument. You know, me being an Arsenal guy, I still would probably put Saka just a little ahead of him. If we look at stats, I think Saka has maybe a few more goals than he does. I think they might be equal on assists. But my thing is, when you look at Saka this season, Saka's having a relative down season, and Phil Foden is playing at his best. So, to me, that shows me that Saka has more upside. Phil Foden might be getting into more stride right now, but if two players are relatively around that same level, but one isn't having a great season and the other one is having the best season of their life, but the other player is still kind of edging them a little bit, I still would give a little bit of an edge to Saka, simply because he has been the most consistent player for Arsenal.
Talking Premier League, talking NBA hoops, talking Caitlin Clark with McBill Yavaro. Thanks, McBill.
Thanks, Sonny.
McBill also serving up some production duties on this Monday. Thank you, McBill. Thanks also to VOA engineer Bill Andrade. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.